together. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God a shout of victory. Come on, a shout of victory. Amen. You know, don't ever let the devil steal your shout. Right? Amen. Open your Bible to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew 6. We're actually finishing this week a series all month long on I am a kingdom builder, building God's kingdom, advancing his kingdom. Next weekend, I can't believe it, December is here. We begin a brand new series all month entitled God with Us. Please pray about that series. But today, this week, we conclude on I am a kingdom builder. And if you haven't been with us, you can go online to our website, download the podcast. Or if you prefer a CD, you can get it on the way out in our bookstore today. I think it'll build your faith. I think it'll give you direction. Last weekend, in fact, we talked about being a kingdom builder simply means putting God first in your life and being in his kingdom. Making God first and entering his kingdom, where he rules our life and we no longer are in charge, but God's in charge and he's large. It's surrendering your life to him and letting him be Lord, and you're no longer Lord over your life. Letting him rule and reign, our God reigns. Letting him direct your life and guide your life, and you are kingdom-minded, where the world, what's on their mind is things. But for you and I, who've entered the kingdom of God, what's on our mind is the kingdom. If in the next life, the most important thing is the kingdom of God, our only other option is hell. And I don't want anybody to go there. If in the next life, the most important thing is the kingdom of God, well, then it better be in this life. The most important thing is the kingdom of God. How do we build it? How do we advance it? How do we increase it? How do we expand it? How do we function in it? How do we operate in the kingdom of God? And that's what we've been looking at all month long. Last weekend, we talked about the solution for stress. If you were here, do you remember that we said the two main reasons for stress? Number one is indecision. Indecision. Knowing you need to make a decision, but you don't know what to make. You don't know what choice to make. You know, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal that it said this Thanksgiving is the most stressful Thanksgiving in a decade. That was in the Wall Street Journal. That this Thanksgiving would be the most stressful Thanksgiving in a decade. Why? Because of the election and politics and all this things that are going on in our nation right now. We found out that indecision is one of the major reasons of stress. It's knowing you need to make a decision, but you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. So we postpone, and which leads to procrastination, which leads to depression. And that's not God's best. We gave the solution for that one is if you and I make the major, most important decision of our life, and that is to put God first and let him be king of your life, then all the other decisions he'll help us with. Can I have a yes in the house? The second major reason for stress, psychologists and the Word of God tells us, is feeling out of control. Feeling out of control. Indecision and feeling out of control. Where you feel like you have too much on your plate, too many responsibilities, too many pressures. Your agenda is too large. You're just overwhelmed and stressed out, pressure everywhere, obligated here, obligated to go there, parenting, your job, your career, your health, all of the above. So feeling like your life is out of control is number two reason for stress. Well, we answered the solution. We got it for there, didn't we? That when you make God king and you're in his kingdom, you give him control. And no longer are you and I in control, but he's in control. So that should relieve you of the stress of trying to control everything and being a control freak, right? So we looked at that, but this weekend, as we conclude our series, I want to talk to you about focus. And what being a kingdom builder, being kingdom-minded, what does that have to do with focus? You know, your life and my life, for it to be powerful and make a difference, we have to have focus. The more focused your life, the more powerful your life will be. It's kind of like a magnifying glass. The more focused that you can be, the more clarity that you have, the faster you grow spiritually. And I want everybody that I pastor, I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to know the skills that you and I need to grow spiritually and to accelerate in our growth. Without clarity, without focus, you and I live in confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Isn't that awesome? God is not the author of confusion. And James says that confusion opens the door to every evil work in our life. Confusion opens the door for every demon, evil influence, and work in our life. So you and I don't want to live confused or in fog. You and I want to have clarity, and you and I want to have focus in our life. Going to have a yes today. All right, so how do you do that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked that question. So let's go to the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy. God doesn't want you and I to be at unrest or uneasy. God doesn't want you and I to live that way. He says being anxious or worried about your life. You know, you and I, we don't want to live our life as worry warts, champion warriors. You know, worry is a sin, isn't it? When he tells us not to do something and we go ahead and do it, isn't that what the Bible calls sin? Worry is your enemy. It's your arch enemy because worry chokes the word from being fruitful in our life. You know, if I come to church and sit under the teaching for 29 minutes, but yet I leave and get in my car and I'm worrying, guess what? Everything I just heard from Pastor won't work. Nothing will work. The Bible says in the sower who sows the seed in Mark chapter 4, it says the cares of life and worry choke the word. So I can't worry and the word, the Bible, the scripture, be fruitful in my life at the same time. Amen? God doesn't want you and I to live worried. God wants you and I to live excited about life, high hopes, great expectation, great faith, believing for bigger and better every day of our life. God does not want us focusing on the worst and the negative. God wants us focusing on the best and the positive. So he tells us, don't live worried. Don't live at unrest. You know, if you and I as parents, if we're worried all the time as the heads of our household, it will create dysfunction in our children. They'll hear us say one thing at church, but they'll see us do another thing at home. So you and I, it's not God's best for us to worry. Well, what do we do then, Pastor? Look at verse 30. Verse 30, Matthew 6, verse 30. If God cares about the grass, then how much more does he care about you, O ye of little faith? Everybody, don't miss this. Little faith then worries. He's talking about worrying, and he says, don't worry. If God cares about the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, it's so temporary, but God cares, then God cares about your life. God cares about your needs. God cares about what you're feeling and going through today. And so he said, don't worry. Those of little faith worry. So if I'm worrying, I hear Pastor teach for 29 minutes out of the Word of God on faith, And I get in my car and I remember the bills that are due this week and I start worrying, or what's going on with my kids at school and I have a meeting with the principal and I start worrying, or the court case I've got to face this week, or I have a doctor's appointment and I start worrying, it nullifies everything Pastor taught for 29 minutes at church. It chokes the word. It's little faith. Little faith always worries. Little faith gets little results. Little faith gets little results. But the antidote is what you and I are doing here today on this holiday weekend. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the good news is our faith doesn't have to stay little. We can grow our faith, 724. You can grow your faith in the car by listening to the word. You can grow your faith at home, cleaning the house, by listening to the word. You can grow your faith while you're exercising. Turn it on while you're exercising. You can grow your faith by listening to the word, the Bible. Isn't that good news that we don't have to stay on the same level? I hope you and I are not on the same level of faith as we were last weekend. I hope that what troubled you last weekend isn't troubling you this weekend. I hope what got your goat last weekend isn't getting your goat this weekend. I hope that we can measure our growth. So he goes on to say, verse 31, he said, therefore, don't worry, don't be anxious, your career, your clothes, your car, your house, your kids. Verse 32, for the Gentiles, the heathen, they go after things. What things? Cars, career, house, job, clothes, stuff, culture. They go after things, but he says, you don't. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you and I as king's kids, what should be on our mind is the kingdom. Now, Joe Sinner down the street, or Josephine Sinner down the street, equal opportunity at Church on the Rock. Their mind is on things and stuff and self-absorption and self-promotion and what's in it for me. And it's all about me. And they're all about things. But you and I are different. You and I, what's on our mind is the kingdom. And because we're kingdom-minded, Jesus said everything the world is going after and losing their family, their health, their marriage, and their kids as they do it, God said, I'll just add it to you. Blessings will follow you, chase you down, and overtake you because you're putting God's kingdom first. Go ahead, give him a good praise, good hand clap. Amen. All right, so look with me in Matthew 6 and verse 9 and 10. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. So focus, everyone say focus. See, I want you to walk away here today with clarity and focus for your life. I want you to have clarity and a clear focus for your life, because the more focused, the faster you will accelerate with your spiritual growth and your success. So what about this kingdom, and what is the kingdom of God? Well, you know, last weekend we talked about how the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's peace, joy, and righteousness. What does that mean, Pastor? It's not natural, but it's spiritual. Do you remember when they came to him and they said, Jesus, the disciples, where is the kingdom of God? You see, they were thinking natural, that he was going to take over Caesar and Herod and the Roman Empire. But Jesus was talking spiritual, and he said, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, natural things. It's peace, joy, and righteousness. It's spiritual thing. He said, the kingdom of God, it's on the inside of you. That's where God should rule and reign. Right? Because what's going on the inside of us today, my brother and sister, is manifesting on the outside. If we're in turmoil on the inside, we're causing turmoil on the outside. If we're troubled on the inside, then we're causing trouble on the outside. If we have peace on the inside, then we are peacemakers on the outside. Jesus said, the kingdom of God. Now, there's coming a day when there's a new heaven and a new earth and they merge together. His kingdom will be natural. And you're going to rule and reign with him in that kingdom. We've covered that, right? But right now, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you, my brother and sister. It's on the inside. And let me take it one step farther. Look at Matthew 6, verse 9. Do y'all remember the Lord's Prayer? Are you familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Okay, let's just look at it for a moment. It's in the same chapter, Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your nature, or your name, your character. Next verse, verse 10. Now watch this, don't miss it. What is the kingdom of God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom of God? The will of God. When you are promoting the kingdom of God, we're promoting the will of God. When we say God's kingdom come and be done in our life, we're saying the most important thing in our life is not our will, our agenda, but the most important thing in our life is the will of God. The will of God. Are you with me? Am I connecting? I don't want to be a commentator. I want to be a communicator. I don't want to give you facts and history and names and definition, and we need that. That's a commentator. But I want to connect. I'm a communicator. I want you to see that the kingdom of God is the will of God. So when I say I'm kingdom-minded, that means what's on my mind is finding, fulfilling, and focusing on God's will for my life. When I say that I'm a kingdom builder, that I want God's will to be done in my life, I want to find it, I want to fulfill it, and I want to focus on it. That's what that means, to be a kingdom builder. So how do you find the will of God? Question, how do you know the will of God? How do you discover the will of God for your life? Because you and I don't want to wind up in heaven standing before God and we missed God. We missed his divine appointment. We missed his calling. We missed his assignment while we're here 70, 80, 90, 100 years. We don't want him to say done. We want him to say well done. We don't want him to say done. We want him to say well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? So one of the biggest questions that I have heard from people pastoring this church for 33 years is, how do you know the will of God, Pastor? How do you know God's will? Well, I want to present to you today, everyone here, those of you in Russia, in Canada, Puerto Rico, those of you in Kenya, those of you all over the nations, I want to promise you, I'm going to show you God's will for your life and make it very clear so you can focus on that and that alone before you leave here today. Is that worth coming on a holiday weekend? Okay, I hope so, because I really want to feed your faith today. All right, so let's look at it. Let me give you this as we start off today. Let me give you a North Star for your life, a North Star. This is huge. This is worth coming out today. This is worth watching online today. It's a North Star. You know, a North Star gives direction, right? And so what is your North Star? 5 points or 5 questions. And when you have this North Star, it will bring focus and clarity for your life. You won't just be wavering and like a pinball machine, bumping here, bumping there, church to church, job to job, mate to mate, wife, husband, family to family, don't know what I'm supposed to do, don't know where I'm supposed to be, feel like a misfit. That's not God's will for our life. So you and I need a North Star. On this star, there are 5 points, and these 5 points represent 5 questions. Are you ready if you're a note taker? Number one, here's the first question on your North Star. Number one is this: who is God? Who is God? You see, it's so important that you know who God is for you to live the life God wants you to live. You see, if you have a little God, you're going to live a little life. If you have an average God, you're going to live an average life. My question to you today is, how big is your God? If you have a big God, you're going to live a big life today. Your picture and my picture of God is huge. It's epic. It determines your potential and your path that you're going to live. Your natural father portrays to you your heavenly father with an unrenewed mind. So if your natural father was, you know, a small thinker, then you're going to have a small God. If your natural father was never around, then you're going to see God is never around. If your natural father was a big thinker, then naturally you're going to see God as a big thinker, your heavenly father. Do you see the correlation? So your natural father is an image of reflection for children growing up to the heavenly father. But the good news is that you and I are to renew our mind way beyond our natural father. You know, I had a wonderful father. He's in heaven today. But my dad, he was one of those guys, World War II, he was one of those guys, you know, great work ethic, but he didn't dream dreams. My father was a good dad. He was a great example. He took us to church every week. He had a roof over our head and food on the table. And I never, ever seriously heard him or my mother in an argument in front of us. Never. I watched my father. What a great example. But my father was one of these that I'm going to work this job. I'm going to retire. I'm going to get a gold watch and well done. My dad wasn't a big thinker. He wasn't a big dreamer. And that, I think, comes from his family. Just enough is enough. So, you know, I thank God for that. But folks, I found out that my heavenly father thinks a lot bigger than my natural father. And that I have a big God today, and that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or dream. So I better dream big, and I better ask big. Amen. So your North Star that gives direction for your life that you're to focus on, it brings clarity, 5 points, 5 questions. Number one is, who is God? Now, folks, don't go to other people to find out who God is. Go to this book. Go to this book. Go to your manual. Go to your roadmap. Go to this book. Because Jesus said, he said to his disciples, you will find me in the scriptures. We find God in the scriptures. You don't find God from a sitcom, from some TV program, a reality show. You don't find God there. You find God in this book. So as you get in this book and you find out who God is, that's part of your North Star. Number two, second point on the star is, who am I? Who am I? Folks, if you don't know who you are, others will define it for you. If you don't know who you are, others will define it for you. And they'll always be lower and less than who God created you to be. Because naturally people don't see the potential in you and me that God has placed. You got to see yourself through the eyes of God. So your North Star to get focus and direction for your life, number one, the first point, first question is, who is God? We could spend a whole month on this. Number two is, who am I? Don't let other people determine who you are, define who you are. Don't compete with other people. Don't compare. You know, the greatest sports figures that I've been around and the Hall of Famers, I've had the privilege of being around a few of them. And the greatest ones I've been around, they always told me they never compared themselves or competed with anybody else on the team. They competed with themselves to find out the best person they could be. So don't ask people who they think you should be, what they think you should do, or what they think where you should go, because they'll always think less than God. So your North Star, 5 points, 5 questions for clarity and focus and discovering the will of God for your life, because thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are kingdom-minded. That means that we're not going after things. We're going after the will of God. And we want to find it, fulfill it, follow it, and focus on it all the days of our life so he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Your third point on your North Star, your third question, are you ready if you're a note taker, is what is my purpose? What is my purpose? You know, we talk a lot about that here at Church on the Rock because I do believe that God has a purpose for our church. Yeah. I do believe, you know, someone the other day, a pastor, someone brought back to me and said, you know, this pastor in our community, pastors a mega church, and got up in his congregation and said, you know, I thank God for David Blunt and Church on the Rock, that's you, because they paved the way for the rest of us in this county. You know, I do believe God has a purpose for Church on the Rock. Folks, we are more diverse than any church in St. Louis. There's a reason for that. We're setting the path. There's a reason for that. So I do believe that our church is purpose-driven. I believe you're purpose-driven. I believe your North Star is to have these five questions. They'll bring clarity. It'll bring focus. You'll move faster in what God wants you to do. You'll be happier, quicker. You'll be satisfied. And number one is what? Who is God? And number two is, who am I? And number three, what is my purpose? The fourth question, and y'all owe me Rock Express coffee on your way out today. We do have gift cards, by the way, during the holidays. Amen. Just a little commercial there. Praise the Lord. Some of you aren't excited about that. All right. Let's try something else. Praise God. Is your fourth question is this, what difference will it make? Me knowing who God is, me knowing who I am, me knowing my purpose, what's the difference my life will make? You see, a dream from God helps others. If you and I have a dream from God, it grows us, but it helps others. You following your North Star, you fulfilling the will of God for your life, it should make a difference in your mate and your children and your grandchildren. You and I focusing on the will of God, fulfilling the will of God, should make a difference in our neighborhood, in our community, and in our city. Hopefully, 33 years of being here Sunday after Sunday has made a difference in our community. Hopefully, it's made a difference in my wife, in my children, in my grandchildren, in my team, in you. You see, the fourth question you have to ask for your North Star is what you're doing, is it making a difference in the lives of those you love the most? Is it making a difference in those that are closest to you? Is it making a difference in the next sphere of influence in your life? Is your life making a difference? That's your fourth point, fourth question on your North Star. You see, people who feel like their life isn't making a difference give up before they ever die. They stop trying before they ever go to the grave, and they settle for average. The fifth point, the fifth question on your North Star for clarity and focus and finding the will of God, your fifth question, are you ready for it? Okay, come Wednesday night. I won't do that to you. Your fifth question is this, what will be my legacy? What will be my legacy? Wow. You see, you and I should be planning on after we're gone. More than a will. We all should have a will, include Church on the Rock in it. Boy, I'm giving you all kinds of paid commercials. Amen. Praise the Lord. But more than that, what will be your legacy? When you're all gone, when it's all said and done, what are they going to say about you? What are they going to say about me? What are they going to say? What's the legacy you're going to leave your children? What's the legacy you're going to leave your grandchildren? What's your legacy? That's your North Star. That brings clarity and direction and focus for your life. It's not just eat, drink, and be merry. What's your legacy? What are you going to leave behind? What are they going to say after you're gone? That's huge. That's huge. You know, Dr. Lester Sumrall used to tell me, this is back when he was alive, he's in heaven now, but when there were just cassettes. Does anybody remember a cassette? Well, you're old. You're really old. But I can remember them too, and I'm old, praise God. But I can remember Dr. Sumrall said, you need a safe in your church, and you need to keep all the masters of your CDs and your cassettes and the masters of all the books that you've written, and you need to put them in that safe for posterity, for legacy. Think about it. Because he said, then after you're gone, they'll still listen to your tapes, they'll still read your books, and they'll still be anointed, and they'll still make a difference, and you'll leave a legacy. That's powerful, isn't it? You say, Pastor, I don't write books. You could write a journal. You could journal every day and leave that to your kids. And I have my dad's Bible, I have my mother's Bible, I have my grandmother's Bible, and when I open it up and I see their notes on the inside, wow, it stirs up the gift on the inside of me. Amen. So your North Star, those 5 points, those 5 questions, they give clarity and focus to your life, because being a kingdom builder is focusing on God's plan and will for my life. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Boy, I got to hustle. Praise God. Say, hurry up, Pastor.
Hurry up, Pastor.
Okay, I will. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to give you, I want to give you 3 or 4 more points before we go. Okay, you got the North Star down, right?
Yes.
Let's just make sure. What's the first question? Now, the will of God, the will of God, number one, this is going to help you. The will of God is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. You know, during praise and worship time, I told you there are only 2 times to praise God. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. You know, the will of God is not a feeling, because if the will of God was a feeling, you know, most of us, including me, would only show up half the time at church. Come on now, be honest, be real. Let's have a you know, Dr. Phil moment here right now. Come on, face up. You know, if we went by feelings, you know, we would do a lot less than we do if we went by feelings. The will of God is not a feeling. Now, that should set a lot of people free, because what I've seen down over the years is somebody gets born again, they get saved, they enter the kingdom, and now God is the king of their life, and they come to me, Pastor, can I meet with you? Yeah. Pastor, will you mentor me? Oh, what do you want? Well, I feel called into the ministry. Now, they just got saved last Sunday. I feel called into the ministry, and I want to preach, and I want to teach, and I feel called. I'm going to move my family. I'm going to move to another city. I'm going to go to seminary. I just feel called. I got to tell somebody. What is that? A feeling.
Amen.
Not a calling. A feeling. And it's wonderful, and it's great, but we need to distinguish that feeling is awesome, and we should want to share our faith, and we should want to help people, but isn't that normal if you're just a Christ follower, that you want to help people? Yeah. So many people have got a feeling and misread it as the will of God, and they relocated their family and they lost everything when they did it. So the will of God, number one, is not a feeling. Number two, the will of God is not a formula. The will of God is not a formula. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's go there. The will of God is not a formula. Boy, you guys are so awesome. You pulled it out of me today, okay? I haven't even got as far as I got last night, but boy, we're having a great time, amen?
Yeah.
Am I helping anybody today?
Yeah.
You see, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and so our focus should be on the will of God. And how do you focus on the will of God? The North Star. And how do you find the will of God? Well, number one, it's not a feeling. Number two, the will of God is not a formula. Wow. What is it, Pastor? What is the will of God? As the praise team comes out, what is the will of God? Would y'all like to know what the will of God is? You know, I had all kinds of student loans that Kim and I borrowed money to go to college, university. Took us years to pay it off. I wish I would have known that the will of God was simply this. I spent so many years trying to discover what the will of God was in college and taking classes and theology 1, theology 2, theology 3, trying to discover, because we've all been told the will of God is mystique. It's a mystery. It's difficult. God doesn't want you and I to be fearful over the word of God, the will of God. He doesn't want us to be fatigued over finding the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, it's not a feeling and it's not a formula. What is it? 1 Corinthians 1, 9. You ready?
Yes.
God will surely do this for you. Boy, isn't he good what he's promised?
Yes.
He will do for you. God will surely do this for you, for he always does exactly what he says. Don't give up on him today, family. He always does what he says, and he's the one who invited you into his kingdom. You didn't choose him, he chose us. He invited you into this wonderful, he invited you into this wonderful with his son, even Christ our Lord. I'm going to pick this up Wednesday night, but the will of God, you see, our focus should be the will of God. And the will of God is not a feeling. The will of God is not a formula. Do these 3 things and you'll know the will of God. You know what the will of God is for you and me? Friendship. 3 words, letter F, it's friendship. The will of God is intimacy with his son. You see, when we focus, listen, you ready? When we focus on God and not guidance, when you focus on God and not guidance, He will lead you. If you'll follow Him, I know it's deep, He will lead you. The will of God is not a feeling, it's not a formula, it's friendship. If you and I focus on God, the God of the plan, then the plan of God, He'll reveal to us if we just keep moving, just keep growing, right? And just keep allowing Him to change our character. Pastor, what happens if I make a wrong decision? He'll get you back on course. He'll get you back on course. So notice that the will of God, He invited you into His kingdom to do what? Have friendship, fellowship, little talk with Jesus every day of our life. The closer we get to Him, the more clear our life becomes. When we listen to others, it gets all messed up. All messed up. That should bring a sigh of relief. So the will of God is not a feeling. It's not a formula. It's friendship. And will you understand that the most important thing you can do today is have time with God? It brings freedom. That's your next word, freedom. I don't have to be worrying about, should I take that job? Should I buy that house? Should I relocate, move that city? Should I do this? Should I date him? Should I marry her? God, what should I do? Stop! The guidance. Focus on God. And if you follow Him, He'll lead you. And would you stand with me today? And we couldn't be where we're at. We couldn't even hear His voice. We couldn't even be in His kingdom. We couldn't even be enjoying His blessings without His amazing grace.